Hello, and welcome back to Texas Tech Health Check from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I'm your host, Melissa Whitfield. We want you to get healthy and stay healthy with help from our evidence-based advice from our physicians, healthcare providers, and researchers. You may have seen commercials or memes on social media make light of female urinary incontinence, but it's not a laughing matter. More than 25 million adult Americans experience temporary or chronic urinary incontinence. It can happen at any age too. What are the causes and what are the treatments? Here to explain more about urinary incontinence in women are Dr. Melissa Sanford, Texas Tech Physicians Urologist, and Kristen Sharma, Texas Tech Physicians Urology Family Nurse Practitioner. They answer our questions and explain what happens during a new patient visit because women don't have to suffer in silence or shame. There is help. Hello and welcome to our podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your expertise, and what you do here at the Health Sciences Center?
Sure. So my name is Melissa Sanford. I'm a board-certified urologist. I specialize in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. I completed my residency at University of California, San Francisco. I did my fellowship at University of Southern California, and I started my practice here at Texas Tech's Health Science Center in 2018. I see mostly women and men with urinary incontinence, pelvic organ prolapse, genitourinary strictures, and fistulas.
Welcome.
My name is Kristen Sharma. I'm a nurse practitioner. I've worked with Dr. Sanford for 1 year, and I take care primarily female patients in the urology clinic. A large portion of the patients that I see have issues with urinary incontinence. I see patients about 5 days a week at our Southwest Clinic on 82nd Street.
Well, again, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
Well, what is urinary incontinence?
Urinary incontinence is a leaking of urine that you can't control. Urinary incontinence is incredibly common and affects up to a third of men and women in the United States.
So it's often helpful to think about the anatomy when we talk about urinary incontinence. So in the genitourinary tract, the kidneys make urine, and that drains through tubes called the ureters down to the bladder. The bladder is mostly made of muscle, and when this muscle is relaxed, it stores urine until you're ready to empty it. The urethra is the tube through which we urinate. When the sphincter muscles around the urethra are closed, the urine doesn't leak out. When you're ready to go to the bathroom, the brain sends a signal down to the bladder. The bladder muscles contract, the sphincters relax, and urine's able to leave the body. Urinary incontinence can occur when there's a problem with any of those things. So when the bladder muscle squeezes too much, when it squeezes too little, or when the urethra doesn't close very well.
Are there different types of incontinence, and what are the causes?
So there are actually several different types of incontinence. The two main ones that we see in our female patients in the office are stress urinary incontinence and urge urinary incontinence. Stress urinary incontinence is leakage of urine when there's too much pressure on the bladder, and it can often happen with laughing, sneezing, coughing, exercising, and even positional changes like getting up from a seated position. This is due to a weakness in the pelvic floor muscles that help support the bladder and the urethra. Urge urinary incontinence is leakage of urine associated with a strong urge to use the bathroom. In this kind of incontinence, patients often describe leaking urine on their way to the bathroom before they're able to sit on the toilet. When patients experience urge urinary incontinence, urgency and frequency, we call this overactive bladder. And basically what that means is the bladder is squeezing and spasming more than it's supposed to. Sometimes we see these symptoms in patients with neurological problems like multiple sclerosis, and then it's called neurogenic bladder. Mixed incontinence is when women have both of those things, so stress urinary incontinence and urge urinary incontinence. It's extremely common and happens about 80% of the time in women. We usually try to figure out what type of incontinence is most bothersome to the patient, and then we focus on that part first. Because the different types of incontinence are caused by different things, we talk about them and treat them differently. There's also overflow incontinence, which is when there's leakage of urine when the bladder is too full. This is less commonly seen, but something we do have to rule out when patients are being seen for urinary incontinence. We do this by checking to see how much is left in the bladder after they go to the bathroom using an ultrasound machine to make sure that they can empty well.
Is incontinence inevitable as one ages? I feel like I see a lot of ads as soon as I turn a certain age for certain health problems.
Urinary incontinence becomes more prevalent as people age, but it is not necessarily inevitable. The increase in incontinence as people age is likely multifactorial because of changes in the nervous system, like the brain and the spinal cord signaling, changes in the bladder and the urethral muscles for men, prostate growth, increases in other medical problems that can cause urinary incontinence, such as diabetes and dementia, as well as mobility issues. So many women believe that this is something that they just have to deal with as they get older. But there are many things that we can do to help manage the problem if it's bothersome. We have many patients who are afraid to leave the house because of their bladder symptoms. And some people purposely try to dehydrate themselves when they have to leave the house or go on a road trip. Some people with stress urinary incontinence avoid exercising because they leak when exercising. Some women leak during sex, and this leads to avoidance of intimacy. When the incontinence interferes with someone's quality of life, we can try to help to control the incontinence.
Can you walk me through a new patient visit for urinary incontinence?
So when we see a new patient, we start by listening to the patient's story, and we ask some more specific questions about their urinary symptoms. After getting more information from the patient, we do a pelvic exam to check the anatomy and see if there's anything that could be contributing to their symptoms, such as pelvic organ prolapse. We also check at this time for stress urinary incontinence by having a patient cough and bear down during the exam. We then have the patient go to the bathroom, and they give us a urine specimen to check for blood, sugar, or bacteria in the urine. We also measure how much urine is voided, and then we use an ultrasound machine to measure how much is left in the bladder after they finish urinating. We then have a discussion with the patient about urinary incontinence and treatment options based on their story and their physical exam.
So then how do you treat it? Is there a cure, and when should someone see a specialist?
Just like we talked about before, there's two different types of urinary incontinence. So there's urge urinary incontinence and stress urinary incontinence, and they're different. They're caused by different things, so we treat them differently. For stress urinary incontinence, there are a bunch of non-surgical options. So you can do pelvic floor exercises like Kegel exercises, which a lot of women already know about. We can send people to pelvic floor physical therapy. We can do an incontinence pessary, and we can do urethral inserts. Pelvic floor physical therapy is a great resource to help treat stress incontinence. We have some really fantastic pelvic floor physical therapists here in Lubbock and in the surrounding communities. It's a great option for patients who are looking to avoid surgery. An incontinence pessary is a little silicone ring that's inserted into the vagina. It helps support the urethra so it stays closed when there's additional pressure. This is another great option for patients who want to avoid surgery, especially in patients who also have pelvic organ prolapse. Surgical options for stress urinary incontinence are predominantly either a urethral bulking agent or a mid-urethral sling. A urethral bulking agent is a product that's injected directly into the urethra, and it helps the urethral walls coapt or close more tightly. It's a minimally invasive outpatient procedure with very little risk or downtime. Mid-urethral slings are synthetic mesh that's placed, and that's actually the gold standard treatment for incontinence. We've been using them for over 20 years and have good long-term success. While they're still an outpatient surgery, they're a little bit more invasive than a urethral bulking agent, and it requires a little bit more recovery time postoperatively than a bulking agent.
As far as the overactive bladder or the urge urinary incontinence, there are multiple things we can do. First, we start with behavioral therapy. This includes bladder training, which includes ways to kind of trick the bladder into relaxing when someone feels a strong urge to go to the bathroom. And also training the bladder to hold more urine for longer periods of time. We also discuss things like fluid intake and how bladder irritants can lead to worse symptoms. For example, coffee or other caffeinated beverages can make the bladder want to squeeze more and exacerbate symptoms. So, I mean, we don't tell our patients never to drink coffee. We both always have our coffee every day. However, you know, caffeine is irritating, so limiting the amount of caffeine, artificial sweeteners, things like that can help with symptoms. We like to tell our patients to limit the quote-unquote fun beverages to about two per day. Other bladder irritants include artificial sweeteners, alcohol, citrus, and sometimes spicy foods. Like Dr. Sanford was talking about, pelvic floor physical therapy can be helpful for the overactive bladder symptoms as well as the stress urinary incontinence that she was talking about. And, you know, behavioral changes can be just as effective as medications. So sometimes we just start there and see how the symptoms are managed at that point. When behavioral changes are not enough, we can consider next steps, but we always come back to the basics, like assessing how much coffee are you drinking? What is your overall fluid volume that you're intaking every day? Because obviously, if you're drinking more fluids, you're going to have to pee more often. So second-line treatment includes medications to help the bladder relax. Sometimes we even have patients on two medications for the bladder. If that's still not enough, we discuss third-line options with our patients. And Dr. Sanford will talk more about that.
So if medical therapy fails or if patients just don't do well with the medications because of side effects, there are three minimally invasive procedures that we can offer patients. Percutaneous tibial nerve stimulation, or PTNS for short, Botox in the bladder, or sacroneuromodulation with a device called InterStim. PTNS is a procedure that we do in the office with patients awake. We stimulate the nerves just behind the ankle using a small needle, and that stimulation runs up the nerves towards the bladder. It's done every week for 3 months and then monthly if it helps. It's a great minimally invasive option for patients who either can't go to the operating room for an outpatient procedure or for other reasons don't want to choose Botox as an option. Botox is a medication that's injected into the wall of the bladder using a small camera and a tiny needle through the urethra. It lasts on average about 6 months, so that most patients only really need to have 2 injections a year. Sacral neuromodulation with InterStim is a little bladder pacemaker that's implantable. It allows patients to have a lot of control over their symptoms. We typically do an in-office test to see if patients would benefit, and if it's successful, we go to the operating room for outpatient surgery to implant the little device.
And you also asked about when someone should seek specialty care for their incontinence. And it is reasonable to see a specialist when symptoms are bothersome. Some of our patients have tried multiple medications already. Some of them have seen other urologists, and some of them haven't tried anything. So, I mean, we're happy to help take care of patients with their incontinence at any point.
I was going to say that the comment you made about the irritants makes sense, because I remember when we have the adult fun beverages, people always talk about peeling the seal or doing the seal or something. It's like, ah, oh, yes, that explains.
Yes, definitely.
What are some long-term problems that could be associated with ignoring incontinence?
So one of the things that we actually worry about is that we're missing the diagnosis that could potentially be worrisome or potentially something else that's going to cause long-term medical problems. If you remember, we talked a little bit about overflow incontinence, and that typically happens when patients actually don't empty the bladder at all. They instead have little bits of urine that drip out, and they think that they're voiding or think that they're having leakage, when in reality, it's actually like water dripping over a dam. In those patients, when they don't empty well, we worry about long-term kidney damage, infections, or even bladder stones that can develop. So that's one of the big things that we worry about in terms of incontinence. The other thing that we worry about is skin breakdown or irritation sort of down below around the vulva or the perineum, and kind of chronic yeast infections in that area as well. So being wet all the time is not great for the skin that is down below.
Is it possible to prevent urinary incontinence?
To some extent, yes. There are things that we can do to help prevent incontinence. However, one can do all the so-called right things and still have urinary incontinence. To try to prevent stress urinary incontinence, pelvic floor exercises can be done to help strengthen the muscles that help support the pelvic organs. Many people are aware of the Kegel exercises, but there are other ways to help strengthen the pelvic floor, such as diaphragmatic breathing and Pilates exercises, different things. And again, pelvic floor physical therapy is a great resource, especially for women after childbirth. For overactive bladder, drinking mostly water, avoiding the bladder irritants such as caffeine and artificial sweeteners can help to prevent the irritation of the bladder to prevent the overactive bladder symptoms.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
So just one of my favorite parts of the job is just being able to help women enjoy their lives again, because they do not have to constantly worry about their bladder. They are excited to be able to go to family functions and even just go to the store again without having to constantly think about where the bathroom is. We have some patients who drive in from out of town, and they're excited when they don't have to stop at every gas station on the way to Lubbock, you know? So it's very rewarding to be able to help women with their incontinence, because I know it really makes a big difference in their quality of life. So we just kind of wanted to help spread the word that there are options, because many people do not seek treatment for overactive bladder and incontinence. And we want people to know that we can help.
Help is available.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming on our podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Texas Tech Health Check. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. This information is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice. always seek immediate medical advice from your physician or your healthcare provider for questions regarding your health or medical condition. Texas Tech Health Check is brought to you by Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and produced by Tara Castillo, Susanna Cisneros, Mark Hendricks, Kay Williams, Tyler White, and me, Melissa Whitfield.